Greetings, brothers and sisters. It's good to be gathered together again with you all. Welcome back, Brother Leonard. It's good to see you here with us as well. And greetings to you all on the phone, if there are some that are not able to be here and listening in. Why don't we stand our feet and have a word of prayer? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning. Thank you so much for your word. Lord, there's so many, through your word we see so many exceeding great and precious promises. That's through that, that we, through the promises of God, through believing them, that we become partakers of the divine nature. Father, it's through your word that you sanctify us and we grow thereby. Lord, I pray that we would desire that sincere, that pure milk of the word of God. Lord, also as we grow in you, that we be able to take in meat and the harder sayings, and to rightly discern your will for your people today. Lord, I pray for the young ones, Lord, that are just recently converted, that they would have that healthy desire, as a healthy child does, to grow. Lord, I pray that we would grow in the Christian life. That's the focus of today. Father, I see my little young son, he's just so itching to grow and achieve and go forward. Lord, it's a sign of, that's how we should be if we're healthy in the Spirit, God. Lord, I pray that we would have pure affections, pure loves, pure desires, and ultimately to be Christ-like. Bless me now as I share. Bless your people here. I pray that you'd help us to rightly understand your word and how to walk and grow as Christians in the word of God and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Leroy, for sharing. The Word of God is such an important thing. I think it might have been Keith Daniel that said the only reason that Christians backslide is because they neglect the Word of God. And the Word of God has a sanctifying effect. It washes our hearts. It helps us to view life from God's perspective. It's a very important thing. Don't neglect spending time feeding on the Word of God. It's the food for your spiritual man. If you neglect it, he'll get weak, and he'll become sickly. We're very diligent. We're very faithful to visit our tables, our fridges. Our spiritual man is just as important, more important. Okay, so Brother Leroy shared on the Word of God, and my topic is prayer. The two key ways by which young Christians and old Christians grow in our walk. We had salvation, repentance, and now we're looking at how do we grow? How do we go forward as children of God? And I thought about so prayer would be my title, but maybe a subtitle would be, "Do you cry? Do you cry?" You know, in our day, it can be embarrassing to cry. You know, men try to hide their emotions sometimes, but I believe God wants us to have some feeling. God wants there to be a cry ascending up to Him. You know, one of the things that midwives look for when a baby's born to the world is they want to hear that cry. They want to hear, you know, if they hear a good loud cry. I remember, I think it was maybe when Jesse was born, that one of them yelled that Jubilee over in her room woke up and came running to see the new baby. You know, it's just a loud cry. You know, and we're thankful for that. And I believe that when a child of God is born again, and there's a cry that goes heavenward, God, make me like you. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to be pleasing to you, Father. When that cry goes up, I believe God, it's a good sign, and God is pleased to hear that cry. You know, compare that with a baby that gets lethargic, and there's this little desire, there's little hunger for the Word of God. There's not much of a response, and it's just that weak, lethargic, you know, it's like very quickly mothers and midwives get concerned. Something is not good here. Something's amiss. And the same's true when there's a person that professes to be born again, but yet there's no desire. There's no heavenward cry coming out of their life. So I ask you, do you cry? It's the way a baby communicates with its source of life. It's the way Christians communicate with their source of life, their Father in heaven. You know, crying, according to the Word of God, is one of the things that the elect do. You know, we talk about the elect and all that, but you know, one thing we can rest assured is that crying is one of the things that the elect do. I'll read you a scripture here. Luke 18, verse 7 and 8, and it says, "And shall not God avenge His own elect, which do what? Cry day and night unto Him." So crying is one of the things that the elect do. There, though He bear long with them, I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? So yes. Okay, I have three basic categories here I want to look at here. Number one, diligence in seeking God. Diligence in seeking God. Then we want to look a little bit about Jesus' example of prayer. And then lastly, fellowshipping with God. Prayer is one of those things that's so easily neglected. I think one of the reasons we tend to neglect it, brothers and sisters, is because it's a thing of faith. You know, it's sort of like working out on a regular basis. You know, how many of you work out regularly as far as, you know, bodily exercise, push-ups and those things like that? How many of you do that? Just very few, you know. And, you know, what's the reason that so if you do? I know there's a few older brothers that older people I know that do it because they know it's good for them. They know that if they keep themselves in shape, they'll be much better off in the older years. You know, I know it would do me a lot of good to get out there in the morning and run. I do a lot of standing in my work, and I think it would do me some good to run and exercise myself. You know, the scripture says it profits little, and so I think there is some profit to it anyway. But it's one of those things, in some ways, it's similar to that, in that it's, there's not a lot of immediate results normally. You know, it's a thing of faith. And, you know, you get up in the morning, you seek God, you read His Word, you pray, but, you know, in some ways you might not feel like it really does a lot for you just that particular day. It gives you a strength, but it's one of those things that it's a work of faith in that it does yield fruit, but it's something you have to exercise yourself with over a period of time. And there is, I assure you, by example and from the Word of God, that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. There, if you exercise yourself faithfully in that, there will be a man or woman of God that emerges out of that, that's sanctified, that's fit for the Master's use. God is faithful. And so it's a thing of faith that's so easily neglected, and I can testify to that. But I can also testify that as a young man, I'm not trying to lift myself up at all, but as an early Christian, there was a cry that came out of my heart. And there were evenings, there were mornings, I would get alone with God, and I would go on walks, you know, out in the woods or the pastures, and there would be a cry that would go from my heart, you know, expressing my struggles, my desires, my lament over my failures. And God is faithful to reward those that do that. Just the importance of diligence in seeking the Lord, a cry to the Lord. I know it made a difference in my life. And if you exercise yourself in it, young man, young woman, older person, it will bear fruit in your life. When there's that kind of heart and regular seeking after God, a person will grow. Just examples, I'm sure you could think of examples too, of what a person gives himself to, or maybe what you could say, what a person devotes himself to, he will excel in it, right? What a person gives himself to, devotes himself to, he will excel in it. A very, very carnal example of that is I know of a young man at my previous place of work that was just a young boy, probably. Oh, he started when he was probably this old. And it was, it's an awful thing. But he really got into video games. He would spend hours on games. And it's something that he gave himself, he devoted himself to. And I heard years later, a few years later, that he was really excelling and that he was becoming a really good gamer of all awful things to become. So carnal, so worthless. But just an example, when a person really gives himself to something, he'll excel in it. Another example that's a little better, a young man that I know, he's younger than myself. I don't know how old he is. He's probably in his early 20s. But at an early age, he took a very much interest in mechanics, just working on diesels, you know, doing these swaps as far as maybe putting a diesel in what had been a gas engine vehicle and other mechanics, just amazing at an early age. He really devoted himself to that and gave himself to it, had an interest in it. And there was older men, older than myself, that would call him and ask advice on how to work on things. Something he gave himself to, and he excelled in it. And the same is true in the Christian life. I know of people, I'm sure you know of people, that devote themselves to seeking God. Yes. Devote themselves to seeking the Lord. And God is a rewarder, brothers and sisters, of those that diligently seek Him. And you see it. You see the change that comes. And out of that quiet life of seeking God emerges someone that God can use. It's a way to grow. Do you cry? Is there a cry from your heart? Lord, sanctify me. Make me a vessel you can use. Meet for the Master's use. I look at... let me just jot a little reference down here. I look at David's life. Let me back up. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. I believe it's good for us to have regular times of prayer. You know, the same is true if a person is going to work out, if you want to use that example. I'm not promoting physical fitness and all that. I think health is a good thing. But to glory in the body, that's not good. But you know, if someone is going to excel in that, they make a schedule, right? I mean, every morning they're going to do this, then they're going to do this. They're going to watch their diet in this area, and they bring their body under subjection, amen? And they discipline themselves. And I believe if we are going to excel in this thing of seeking God and walking with God and becoming that vessel that's fit for the Master's use, there needs to be a regular time of prayer. A regular time. Just like that workout man. He makes a schedule and he sticks to it if he's going to become what he wants to become. Here in Psalm 55, 16 and 17, David says, "As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice." Evening, morning, and noon. David had a schedule. You know of anyone else in the Bible that had a schedule? Daniel, very similar schedule. Three times a day, Daniel prayed. Even when the threat came, the threat of the lion's den, Daniel stuck to his schedule through thick and thin. And I don't think it has to be necessarily some dead ritual that we do, but I believe it's good for us to be disciplined. If we're going to be diligent in seeking the Lord, there needs to be some diligence, some discipline in that. So back to David again. It stood out to me that as a young man, Samuel said he was ruddy and of a fair countenance, I think. He's a young stripling. Man, as a young man there, when Samuel came to anoint the next king, God said, "I'm going to find me a man, what? After my own heart." And Samuel saw all those other, his older brothers and their stature and all their things that looked so appealing to him. But as a young man, God recognized that about David, that he was a man after his own heart. And, you know, I believe as a young man, it seems to me his heart was Godward. His heart, there was his heart. I don't know how old David was when he wrote those psalms. You know, I don't know how old he was when some of those psalms were written. It seems like he wrote some of those psalms in the context of shepherding. And we know he was watching the flocks at that early age. But what stood out to me is psalm after psalm after psalm, there in the book of Psalms, is a cry. There's that Godward heart, you know, and that's the heart that God's looking for. May we have that kind of heart. Maybe we could just turn back to Psalm 25 for just an example of one. I mean, there's probably better ones. I just kind of stumbled across this one here. I thought this would kind of be illustrate this. But, you know, what I'd like to communicate to us this morning is to have this kind of heart, that there's a cry towards God. God, sanctify me. God, make me pure. Whatever it is in my life that's displeasing to you, God, I want to be like you. Have that cry go forth. Remember the baby that cries. It's a good sign. It's a sign of health. Psalm 25, we'll just read the first few verses here. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. David's heart here. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. You know, I thought about how we struggle with our flesh at times. You know, we want to be pleasing to God, but yet we see this area and we bring that to the Lord. God, don't let this thing triumph. I want to conquer this. Verse 3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Verse 4 is a good thing to cry about. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Just some good things to make a matter of prayer in our lives. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 2, verses 1 and 5. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5. We're looking at diligence in seeking the Lord. It's something we need to be diligent, something that we need to schedule our lives around and devote ourselves to. If we want to excel, it's going to take some giving ourselves to it. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I'd like to encourage you. I don't know how it is for you, but sometimes in the morning it's a little hard for me to really get my heart as engaged as I like to be in seeking the Lord. Sometimes I find it that way. Sometimes it's good. Other times I struggle more. And as a younger man, I would sometimes go. I would devote, you know, maybe a special evening from time to time just to go out and spend some time seeking the Lord in a more of a special sense. And I would encourage that. You know, keep up your regular time, but maybe have an additional time where you go and really, in a fresh way, pour out your heart to the Lord and you know, engage yourself in crying to God, lifting up your soul to Him. God is a rewarder of those that, what? Diligently seek Him. Do you believe that? He is. I'll read you some more promises here. God, and I testify, these are true. The Lord keeps His end of the deal. We're the ones that fail. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And and we could go into many other examples, you know, of those that press in, that keep knocking, keep asking. You know, those that do that are the ones that get the blessing. If you just kind of have a casual asking from, you know, not really much heart behind it, the Lord's the reward of those that diligently seek Him. And some examples of that would be Elisha following Elijah. You know, I believe God wanted him to get the blessing. I believe God wanted to anoint him with that double portion. But God sometimes tests us to see how much we really do want it, how much we're willing to press in there and continue working out, even though we might get weary. And Elisha wouldn't be deterred. You know, even though Elijah tempted him, it seems, or tested him, I should say, that's a better word, tested him. You just stay back here. No, I'm not going to leave you. The Lord's going to take you today. He was not going to let Elijah go without seeing him go. And he got the blessing because he pressed in. Jacob, resting with the angel. He wouldn't stop. He hung on there until he got the blessing. Many, many examples of that in the Word of God. Those that have some violence, as Brother Dale said, are the ones that get the blessing. God is a rewarder of those that diligently, not casually, seek Him. The picture of the disciples in the boat. You know, I believe Jesus wanted to go join them in that boat and calm the waves and all that. But it says He would have passed them by if they hadn't called out on Him there. And so we need to call upon the Lord and seek Him. Many other examples we could probably look at along those lines. You know, the man that beat the arrows on the ground there, it seemed like he had a little bit of a complacency. And he got a little victory, but if he would have pressed in there, he could have gotten so much more. And the same is true for us. Let's be diligent in seeking the Lord. God will reward that. Develop a schedule. Stick to it through thick and thin as much as possible. But don't have it be a ritualistic dead thing where you just put in your time, you know, start your timer and but truly seek God. Let there be a cry. A cry ascending to heaven. God hears a cry. Okay, we'll look a little bit here. The second portion here of Jesus' example of prayer. You know, was Jesus diligent in prayer? If Jesus was diligent in prayer, brothers and sisters, how do we expect to make it if we're not? If the Son of God needed times of seeking His Father, how much more do we? How much more do I? Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Maybe this is why our lives are as as weak and pitiful as they are at times. J.C. Ryle, he has a really good little sermon on this, a written out sermon that's very convicting. And I think there's something to that. Many Christians don't have this life of crying to God that they live, and therefore they're weak and sickly. Jesus knew the secret. Mark 1:35, "And in the morning, rising a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." What motivated Him to get up early? You know, He knew that there was strength that came from that. He knew He needed that connection with His Heavenly Father if He was going to be what God wanted Him to be. He wanted to be in tune. He wanted to be able to hear and do always those things that please His Father. And that motivated Him, motivated our Lord to get up, to drag His body out of that bed, get dressed, and head out in the dark of the morning and seek His Father. A solitary place, a great while before day, in the morning. Was He tired? Was it just that He had a good rest that night and He felt refreshed extra early and decided to get up? I believe there was some discipline He exercised. Jesus knew the secret to a life lived in the Spirit. Luke 6, verse 12, turn there. Jesus' example of prayer. Luke 6, verse 12. "And it came to pass in those days that He went," to Jesus, "out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer." prayer to God. And I won't ask a raise of hands of how many have done that, but I believe it would be very few. I'm not sure if I could raise my hand praying all night. But Jesus did. But you know, he was the Son of God. If anyone should have been able to be exempt from that, wouldn't it have been him? But he knew there was a strength, or he knew he needed that. He continued all night in prayer to God. And I believe God, as we place Him first, and I can testify to some of this, I believe, if we prioritize spiritual things, it seems like God can fill up our tank in the physical side. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, if we put Him first in our lives, it seems like He's able to give extra strength in the physical at times. I can testify to that. Where, you know, I was surprised how well the next day went if I was at a late meeting or something, or doing something of the spiritual sense. Not always, but I believe God can make up and give strength if we place Him first. John 18, verses 1 and 2. John 18, verses 1 and 2. If the Son of God needed regular times in prayer, brothers and sisters, how much more do we? And sadly, how much of this is neglected? It's one of the secrets to a Spirit-filled life. John 18, verses 1 and 2. This is just before Jesus' betrayal. Judas is going to betray Him. And when Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, into which He entered, and His disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. And this is some assumption here, but you know, I don't know what the oft times was, why He went there often. You know, my assumption would be that He often went there to pray. Maybe in the evening, maybe after a weary day, He would resort thither and have a time of refreshment seeking the Lord, seeking His Father. I don't know, but I wonder that. He oft times resorted thither with His disciples. Is there your, do you have such a place? A place where you go alone with God to seek His face? your little garden, so to speak. If you study Jesus' prayer life, it seems that He often prayed before big events, you know, before He called His disciples. I think that was the time He prayed all night, if I'm not wrong. But He often also prayed after those events. Because sometimes, a time of spiritual pouring out, you know, you can leave you feeling drained. And if you study Jesus' life, it seems like He would have times of away with God afterwards too, of being refreshed. We need that, you know, like Joshua said, we pour out that picture, but then we need to go get it filled back up. It can leave you feeling pretty drained. And we need to, in ministering to others, we need to do that, but we also need that time of being refreshed ourselves and not neglecting our own needs before the Lord. So Jesus seemed to pray before and after those times. It's a good example for us. In Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." And sometimes with a lot of responsibility, we can be giving, and neglect our own vineyard. And we need to make sure that we have that time alone with God and have our own life refreshed. Okay, lastly here, fellowshipping with God. See if I can communicate this here. How is it when you are alone with God? Is it just like Joshua was saying there earlier, you know, God, help me with this, do this for me, God? Just, you know, this kind of rich, you know, ritualistic prayer, you know, where you just kind of go down through your list and you say, God, do this, God, do this, God, do this. And you just, there's not a lot of heart there. It's just kind of getting through your list and putting in your time. it's not all wrong to go through a list. I think that can be actually be good. I think we probably could use some more structure in our prayer times. But I'd like to lift up and encourage us to love the Lord. You know, you read the Psalms there. And, you know, David, it wasn't just a bunch of... There was some feeling there. There was a love. A delight. There was a want to be in God's presence. And I'd like to encourage us to love the Lord. To be able to get to the place where you enjoy being in God's presence. David said he'd rather be, he wanted to live in the house of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. I'd like to encourage you to seek to experience this, what David says here. If you're a young Christian seeking to grow, learn to experience this in your life. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Have you experienced that? Have you tasted that delight in God's presence? Young person, older person? Or is your quiet time just a form, something you do? Is there love that wells in your heart to the Lord? As you think about what God has done for you, and there's thankfulness that rises. There's a desire to worship God and tell Him you love Him. And there's a relationship that flows. And God, maybe God speaks to a need in your heart. Maybe there's a cry that you have where you're looking for answers, and you feel the Lord minister to you, give you a word through His Word, or through just to your heart. He speaks to you, and you come out feeling refreshed. I believe you can experience that. It may not be that rich all the time, but go for it. Go for it. If you have to go out in the evening, or if you can't really enter into that, if you're a little tired, have times where you can, where He restores your soul, as it says in Psalm 23. We need that. So yeah, love the Lord, O ye His saints. Develop a relationship. I'm not trying to lift up mysticism and all that. We need to read the Word, obey the Word of God, do what it says. But there's also the Holy Spirit that is our comforter, and there ought to be some emotion, some love, some feelings for the Lord in our life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So I think that's about all I have here. So again, do you cry? Do you cry? And remember that crying is not something to be embarrassed about. Emotion is not a bad thing. And remember that crying is something that the elect do. And if you're His child, you will cry. So God bless you. May we be diligent in seeking the Lord and a walk with prayer, a life of prayer. I feel like something that I need. I felt like that the Lord spoke to me, convicted me as I was preparing this, that or beginning to prepare it, that I feel like that I've neglected my own vineyard sometimes. You know, you can study a lot, you can seek to be faithful to responsibilities, but that I haven't had that just delight in His presence as often as I should have. And it seems like when you do enter into that, then burdens for other things also flow right along with that. You know, as you fellowship with God and you the Lord ministers to you, you think of a need here and you say, Lord, minister that need. And it seems like when we really, it's so much good comes out of those times. I want to be more diligent in that myself. So God bless you all. May we grow in our walk together.